This is Nicole Webb Rivera. Today's date is November 4th, 2011. It is 10:27, and I'm conducting an interview with Janet Miller for Quilters SOS Save Our Stories, a project of the Alliance for American Quilts. Janet Miller and I are at the International Quilt Festival in Houston, Texas. Janet Miller will tell you about the quilt you brought. Will you tell me about the quilt you brought today?
It's leftover blocks from my San Antonio Fiesta quilt that is in the Lone Star book. And I was the show chair, and the San Antonio Fiesta was my raffle quilt. And I had three blocks left over and some of the ribbons left over, and we do a silent auction at the quilt show. So I put the three blocks together with the ribbons and gave it to the silent auction chairperson, saying, "I don't have time to quilt it for the silent auction," and then I bought it back.
Excellent. So what do you call this particular quilt?
I call it a San Antonio Stars.
That's so sweet. And how did it end up that you only had three blocks left and not more than that?
Well, I could say planning, but it just happened that way. We were making, these are paper-pieced stars, and I handed them out at guild meeting, and luck would have it, just had three left over.
It's just wonderful. Why did you choose this quilt to bring to the interview?
Well, they said something that I had made that was important to me. And yes, I made the top. Larry Beaucamp, a guild member, quilted it for the silent auction. And it's what I have left of my San Antonio Fiesta quilt. And, you know, when I got the word that San Antonio Fiesta quilt was going to be in the book, it was just unbelievable. Thank you.
Overwhelming.
It just, when my husband came downstairs and he said, "You've got an email from Houston." I said, "So?" And he said, "Well, I looked at it and the quilt's been accepted." And it was like, oh my gosh. And I started crying. He says, "Well, I didn't think you'd be this emotional." I said, "Well, I didn't either. But I said, never in my wildest dreams did I think anything would happen with the quilt." And it won two ribbons before we raffled it off. And so luckily a guild member won that quilt and we were able to access it, because other raffle quilts for our guild shows, one actually went to England one year and California. And if someone like that had won it, there was no way we could have accessed it. So the San Antonio Fiesta was won by a guild member. She was very gracious and willing to let us submit it, that type thing. And so this is all I have left of it, type thing. So
where do you hang that, your touchstone piece in your house?
In my newly remodeled bathroom.
Oh, how great.
But it's the master bathroom. I am in there every day, couple times a day kind of thing. And it's there. I see it all the time.
What age did you start quilt making?
1991, so probably 50.
Oh, okay.
I was age 50 probably about, I guess, then.
I saw from your questionnaire that you have family members that quilt. Did that influence you in starting quilting at all? Or?
Well, my mother quilted, but it was, you know, the product of the 30s. Blocks, utilitarian quilts for the bed type thing. And she influenced me as far as sewing, in learning to sew garments, that type thing. But my mother-in-law was diagnosed with liver cancer, and she came to visit. We'd just come back from Germany, and so we were living in San Antonio, and she came to visit. And she said, "Janet, I want you to have the cathedral window quilt that I'm working on." And afterwards, my husband said, you know, she knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got the cathedral window quilt, and it was like, I've never quilted. I don't know what to do with this to finish it off. And so they had adult education classes through a school district there in San Antonio. And so I signed up for quilting class. And the teacher, it was hand piecing, hand quilting. A machine was never in the equation whatsoever. Paper templates, rotary cutter. It was a scissors for the first couple classes, and then we found rotary cutters. But two of the gals that I'm in a B with, that's where we met, was at that. Our first quilting class was that adult education. And we took, I think it was like three semesters of this hand quilting class. And finally, Lorna, the instructor, said, I have taught you gals everything I can. Now you're just meeting as a bee. You're visiting. You're quilting, but you're visiting. Go do this at one of your homes. And so, okay. So we then started meeting as a bee and started coming to Houston, and we come to Houston every year as a group.
So how long after you took that initial class did you transition into using a machine and more modern techniques?
I have two quilts. One is a four-block wall hanging that I made in class, and then a double bed size quilt that is completely hand-pieced, hand-quilted. So probably 93, 94 is when I moved into sewing on the machine, rotary cutting, that type thing.
Do you ever do your own machine quilting?
Yes. I attempt it on those small wall hanging type things. I still, people that say, oh, I quilted, you know, the king size quilt on my, you know, Bernina Hoff or whatever. I just can't get there yet. It's too much of a fight. But the wall hangings, that type thing, yes, I'll quilt.
How many hours a week do you quilt? Now we're going to bring out the real dirty laundry.
Yeah. Oh, 16 hours a week. I am retired, so, you know, first time.
Yeah, may as well. How does quilt making impact your family?
It's just my husband and I. We have no children, and he's got his computer, and he's taken up watercolors. And so he's got his room, and I have my room. And say in the afternoon, he's in there on the computer or painting, and I'm in there sewing, and then in the evening, I'm doing handwork in front of the TV. So there's, and he's now helping me with my colors.
Has that impacted your relationship in a good way or a bad way?
Well, I have learned my lesson. If I have the quilt, you know, the top pieced or it's started piecing, I do not ask him what he thinks of it, because he will tell me. And at that point, things have already been sewn together. I'm not going to take it apart. So I've learned, if I want his input, while the fabric is laid out, I will ask him, what do you think? And then I will let him tell me about, you know, complementary colors and tones and that type thing. And I'll change something then, maybe. But once it's started, I'm committed. I don't ask.
Have you ever used quilts to get through a difficult time in your life?
No.
No? Do you have any funny stories about quilting or a particular quilt interaction that struck you as fun or funny that you would like to share? Or?
No.
What do you find the most pleasing about making quilts?
I consider myself a topper. You know, I like to put the tops together. The cutting, the working. Also, with the gals in the bee, even the gals in the guild, the sharing, the friendship that comes with that.
What art or quilt groups do you belong to currently?
I belong to the Greater San Antonio Quilt Guild.
What are your favorite techniques and materials?
I like paper piecing, materials is the cottons, the batiks. I really like the bright batiks. I also like the vintage, not so much the vintage quilts, but the linens. You know, the embroidered table runner from grandma.
So have you used those in your quilts?
No, I can't bring myself to cut them up. But I've got, you know, like I say, embroidered, you know, the dresser scarves from my grandmother, from my mother, and I use them. And I can't bring myself to cut them up yet.
So you're a textile lover.
Yeah.
Do you use a design wall when you're working, making your tops?
Mm-hmm.
And how does that enhance your creative process?
Well, it's there. You can see it. Where, you know, if you've got a stack of blocks, well, you see the top block, and how does that top block relate to anything else? But on that design wall, then, have I got a secondary design? Is that black flowing a certain direction, or is that one block stopping that flow, and do I need to switch that around, or do I have two of the same fabric or something like that?
So when you're using your design wall, how long do blocks generally stay up there for you to play with and move them around before you've decided, I'm going to sew these together now?
A couple days.
Okay. What do you think makes a great quilt?
I guess the color is usually what attracts me first, you know. Whether, like here at the show, there's some that are very, very subdued, but they all go together. They speak to each other. But it's usually more color that grabs me, and I walk up and then I start looking.
Do you generally make more bed size and larger quilts or smaller wall hangings? What's your favorite?
More wall hanging. I guess I look at it, I'm going to be giving them as a gift to family, that type thing, and I can use just so many bed quilts. And so wall hanging is, to me, better.
Are there any artists in particular or quilt makers that have influenced your work?
Carol Doak, she taught me how to paper piece, you know, here in Houston. And then she also has influenced me in fabric buying, in that when a first class, a brand new quilter, and someone asked her, well, how much fabric do you buy? And she said, oh, she buys 3 yards because that will give you a border on a quilt. Okay, so then a couple years later, I take another paper piecing class, and I say, well, Carol, I'm following the 3 yards. She says, oh, no, the rules have changed. By the bolt. So the gals in the bee, we always joke about, well, did you buy the bolt?
Do you buy bolts?
No.
So what is your typical piece size that you would buy?
Fat quarters, kind of depending on if I'm working on a project in particular, or yard. The problem is you buy a yard and then you don't know what you're doing with it, and then you decide you're going to do, and then you don't have enough fabric. So 3 yards if I really, really love the fabric. But I just feel so decadent, you know, like I'm in a quilt shop and it's, you know, I only need a yard, but there's just a little bit left, and I'll say, oh, I'll take the bolt. You know, and it just, you know, you feel just, ooh. But no, I don't usually buy the bolt.
So do you make a lot of scrappy quilts then?
Yes and no. Yes, in that I think, you know, my mother carry over that depression. I mean, I have got bins of, you know, the pieces and stuff like that. And in our guild, we have a project committee, Bright Hopes, for the children's shelter. And so I'm always putting the scraps together, but it's like a rabbit. They multiply at night when I'm not in there. And so I do like to make the scrap quilts, but I am learning that there is, to me, no such thing. I mean, if you want a pleasing scrap quilt, it can't be random. There has got to be either a color commonality, a tone commonality, the light is common, the dark is something common about it. You just can't take this bin of mishmash because it looks like a mishmash. And I'm finding that even a scrap quilt has got to be planned.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that a scrap quilt takes longer on the design wall?
Oh, yeah.
Than a...
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, we're making an Ohio Star. Okay, you've got that center, you've got the points, you've got the corners. It's a predetermined, those colors. Where a scrap quilt, it's got a flow. Yeah, to me there's more.
So when you're making a scrap quilt, do you find that you make extra blocks that don't get used?
Yes.
A lot? Yeah. Like, how many do you think you average that are just extra from a project that are, like, not really rejects, but rejects for that particular piece?
5 or 6 blocks, okay. At least.
Okay.
And they usually then get put together, say, Bright Hopes.
Mm-hmm. Why is quilt making important in your life?
It's my creative outlet. It's also my friendship. It's those gals in the bee. It's the guild members that's going on the retreats, that type thing. That I mean, I belong to another organization in San Antonio, the Herb Society, and kind of have a similar group of friends there. But if I didn't have quilting, well, what would I do with myself? I mean, you can clean the house so much and cook dinner so many times and work in the yard, but I needed more.
What are your thoughts about the importance of quilts in American life?
Well, it's a historical anchor. I mean, I look at a quilt that my mother made in the 30s. It's on feed sacks. It's the butterflies, her girlfriend's dress scraps that she got, that she made the butterflies on the feed sacks. She embroidered their names on them. And then those blocks sat until the 50s, when her mother-in-law put them together with sashing, and then in the 60s she had it commercially quilted. Well, now I have it. And that, you know, the family in North Dakota in the 30s on a farm, and what they had, kind of thing. And then it carries over to me. And when I got it, there was no label on it, and I put a label on it, and I left plenty of room so that, you know, my name is the daughter, and then it'll go to one of my nieces, and so there's room for their names to be added to pass down, that, you know, that touching type thing.
So do you think it's important to preserve the history of quilts as we make them today?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, people will, you know, acquaintances will meet someone, oh, you're a quilter. Oh, well, I got grandma's quilt or so-and-so, and I'll, is there a label on it? What's the history of it? Well, no. So I'll talk about, you've got to, if you know the history, your kids aren't going to know, you've got to put a label on it so that there's knowledge.
Well, since you've brought that up, what is your favorite way to label a quilt?
Well, if it's going to be, you know, on a bed, it's going to be washed, I'll try and embroider I think it'll last longer. Where wall hanging is just going to hang, I just print it off on the computer.
And hand sew it to the back? Or?
Yes. And if I'm going to, I try and either incorporate it into the binding or actually have it on there, incorporated like on a bed quilt, incorporated into the back so that it is quilted.
So it can't be removed easily.
Exactly.
How do you think we can preserve quilts and quilting as an art into the future?
Well, I think you have to start them young. And I don't know, kids today, young people today, I think they view quilting as sewing. That's what grandma does. And so why would I want to do that? We need to, it can be art. Definitely it can be art, but it can also be something that's on the bed that keeps you warm, that's on the couch that can be, you can be bundled up in and keep warm. And but I don't know, you don't have to have home mech, but if you're going to be sewing, you've got to know how to use a sewing machine. And I don't know if moms are teaching their sons or daughters how to use a sewing machine.
That being said, do you have any ideas for what would be a good way to get young people whose parents maybe aren't familiar with quilting inspired to even look at it?
Well, we've in San Antonio got a couple projects with, it's called Storybooks and Quilts to Go. And the Guild buys books that have quilts either in the title or within the story. And then a Guild member will take the book and make a quilt, just a small 36-36, something along that size, that mimics as close as they can that quilt in the book. And then the book and quilts go out to schools. All the school districts are notified of the program, so the librarians in the schools, the teachers in the schools, and they also know grade level for the book. And then the museums, church groups, can sign these out, and the kids sit around, the teacher librarian reads the story to them, and then they can handle the quilt. They can touch the quilt. So, and then they talk about the quilts, and you know, the a lot of them, my grandma or somebody like that, they'll talk about the quilt. So there's some exposure there. We also, with the libraries, we've been contacted by several of the librarians in the city about having classes and offering free classes to a group, and no age difference. So, you know, usually junior high to older, things like that. So those are some projects that we're doing. Trying to get, for us, information in the newspaper, that type thing. No.
Not very effective.
No.
I'm so glad I asked that question, because that project really excites me.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
Well, for one thing, in this economy, the cost of fabric and just cost of making a quilt. You know, if you want it machine quilted, professionally machine quilted, the expense there. I think, you know, like say in our guild, I mean, there's a group of women that we share the interest, that type thing and stuff. But for older folks, fixed income, we've had some guild members that it's really hard for them to, even the storybook and quilt to go. They want to do a quilt, but they can't afford. And so we've had, you know, the guild members or grandma passes away and we get a phone call and we go over and we get a carload of fabric. And we go through there and we divide it up between our Bright Hopes Children's Shelter quilts, and we've got a QPC quilt project committee, and they take the extra stuff. And then if we've got a guild member that wants to make a quilt, can't, we gather the fabric together, and here's a kit to go with the book. So kind of helping that way a little bit.
That's really fantastic. I want to ask you, how do you feel quilt making will impact your legacy? So after you've passed, as you said, you don't have any children?
No.
And so that seems even more powerful to me, to have a legacy for you, since you don't have the children to care. How do you feel about the legacy that you're leaving for, you know, future generations?
Well, I guess I feel like just the common man. I mean, I don't feel like I'll leave any legacy. But to my nieces and nephews, well, I haven't a clue whether they will appreciate something like this. The one niece, it's purple. So maybe she will appreciate it from that standpoint. Two nieces, two nephews. The one niece-in-law took a quilting class, so she might appreciate. The two nieces, I don't even know if they own sewing machines to hem pants type thing. They talk about like my mother's embroidery, that type thing, but I don't know. Part of the problem is they're in Montana. Well, I'm in Texas, and I don't know if they even know.
What about people that don't even know you? Your past. What would you like people to know about you when they come across your quilts, say, in 100 years? What would you like them to pick up from the art that you've, you know, created here and now?
I never even thought of that. I mean, I know, like, you see the quilts in the museums, and what was the story? Why did she make it? I enjoyed making things that, you know.
Well, I can say, I think I would take away that you're just a very cheery person.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Is there anything that you would like to share that I haven't covered that you would like to have put into the record about your quilt making adventure? Or,
well, the quilt in the book, A San Antonio Fiesta, I mean, it was a collaborative effort, and it couldn't have happened without the other guild members. And, you know, I had this envision of San Antonio. Well, my theme was a fiesta of quilts. Well, we have that 10-day celebration in April, and all the things that went into the quilt is fiesta. And I met with two gals, and I thought we could develop it on the EQ system. And I met with them, and they said, oh no, you need an artist. And the next night my B met, and I was telling them my problem, and they said, well, Barb is an artist, let's call Barb. And this gal, who wasn't even a quilter, but she was an artist, is the one that actually did the computer design work so that we could hand out blocks type thing.
Well, that's wonderful. So it was a true collaborative effort.
Yes.
Between quilt makers and non-quilt
makers. Yes.
Excellent.
And out of all the Well, I was very specific about who did the folkloric or dancers. That was very specific. The crepe paper flowers were very specific appliqueers. The guitars, the maracas, I just handed those out. And only one of the guitars we had to redo.
What?
Because just it wasn't quality. And then another one of the small stars. The gal, I said, cut your seams down to an eighth of an inch. I meant just the inside, not the outside edge.
I see.
And I'm going, "Arr." And then I find out early stage Alzheimer's. Mm. And it was like, okay, never mind. So.
Some things are bridge under the water.
Yep, yep.
Excellent. Well, Janet, if you have nothing else that you would like to add, I'll close the interview. I'd like to thank Janet Miller for allowing me to interview her today for the Quilters SOS Save Our Stories Oral History Project. Our interview concluded at 10:57.
Okay.